And scripture.
And prayer tonight have combined together to cause us to praise God and give thanks for His care for our lives and all that He has supplied to meet our needs, His awareness of what those needs are. And we certainly know our dependence upon Him, and we find in looking to Him by faith that He has responded with great abundance to help us in our every need. And so we have sung, and so we have read, and so we have prayed tonight. We're thankful we could do that together. This message begins with an item that appeared in our latest church newsletter, which hopefully you received by email, and receiving it that you read it. And we put in the foyer each week just a few copies for those that do not have access to it by email. Usually there are some of those remaining on Sunday night and even Wednesday night, and some two or three will still be there when we replace them at the end of the week, like showbread replaced in the tabernacle week by week. But for some reason, all the copies disappeared this morning. And we even had a number of our members out of town, but still all the copies disappear. So I hope that somewhere along the way you got an opportunity to read the newsletter. And I'm referring to a very brief item that was in the newsletter called, as we entitle it each week, The Scripture, Seek, and Study. And it presented Mark 9, verse 1 passage, which you were to look up and fill in the blanks. It should have been easily located by the Bible student, Bible reader, and you can fill in the blanks. But in writing about that passage, I mentioned that the words of Jesus in Mark 9, verse 1, refer to normal human abilities and senses that are either mentioned in that passage in Jesus' words, or what Mark said about what Jesus was doing on that occasion. He said to them, "Verily I say to you," and so forth. And then I made this comment that I discovered seven in that passage, normal human abilities and senses that are either mentioned or implied. And I added further observation that God is the creator, is the maker of them all seven of those human abilities and senses mentioned or implied in Mark 9, verse 1. Well, perhaps you looked at that and you wondered, what in the world is he talking about? And then again, you looked at the passage and you could see one or two immediately, and that led to others, and that's how I arrived at seven that I could see there in that passage. Obviously, there is speech. That's a normal human ability. Jesus was speaking to his hearers, and that leads to hearing because they heard what he said, and that leads you to think about understanding. Words are spoken, and these words can be understood up to a point. All of Jesus' words can be understood more fully with further study, and the disciples would understand more about what he was saying as time passed and they experienced what he was talking about. So speech, hearing, and understanding. And in what Jesus said, he referred to tasting and seeing. That's two senses that we have as human beings. These are normal senses by which we receive sensations with the information that comes with that for us who are human creatures. And so Jesus speaks of tasting and seeing, although he uses them here as figures of speech. He's not referring to something literally tasted or literally seeing this, but it is something that is experienced and something that is discerned. There would be something to be seen, and there would be something to be heard when these words of Jesus were fulfilled. The Lord is here using tasting and seeing in a figurative sense. And then there's also mobility, the normal ability of human beings to move about, and here implied in the fact that these people were standing. They were standing there. Jesus refers to their standing in his presence on this occasion. And then there's a seventh one that is implied in the word power. This word often refers to miraculous demonstration, miraculous activity of Jesus or of the apostles. And it refers to activities then that had the ability to elicit amazement from those who observed them. And the gospel writers mention such amazement, using different words for it, that the people were amazed, that they were astonished, that they were amazed beyond bounds, almost beside themselves with astonishment at the things that Jesus did. And this same amazement was evident in the response to the miracles of the apostles, who performed like miracles to those of Jesus. Not the same, but like miracles, that they were truly wonders, powers, and signs. So this capacity for wonder is implied in the word power. Jesus was making a promise, and he said that some of those that were standing there would not see death until they had not tasted death till they had seen the kingdom of God come with power. That the kingdom of God would come, therefore, in the lifetimes of some of those people who were there on that occasion and saw Jesus and heard him speak. Now, this is the promise, and you know the fulfillment of that is recorded in Acts, the second chapter, in Pentecost, and that's the title of this brief lesson, Promise in Pentecost. But on our way to Pentecost in Acts 2, we must make a brief stop in Acts chapter 1, where there is a further promise, where Jesus said to his apostles that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit came upon them. Acts 1, verse 8. The word for power there is the same word for power used by Jesus in Mark 9 and verse 1. They would receive power when the Holy Spirit came upon them. And you will be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost or the end of the earth. Again, that's Acts 1 and verse 8. So then we have that further promise, and that brings us then to the fulfillment and to Pentecost Day, Acts the second chapter. And the chapter begins by narrating the coming of the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised. And there were demonstrations of power by the coming of the Holy Spirit, so that there was a sound like a rushing and very powerful wind filling the house where the apostles were sitting. So great was the sound of this wind, it drew a crowd. People came to that location to see what was happening. This was not a mighty wind filling the city of Jerusalem or that part of the country of Palestine or Judea. It was in that location, and so they came to that location, brought to it by the sound of that wind, and when they arrived there, they did see something. They heard something, then they saw something, and they saw these tongues like fire on top of the apostles resting upon them, and the word parting here means distributed. That is, upon each of the apostles, there was the appearance of this tongue of fire. And then these men spoke, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and that was a further demonstration of miraculous power. They spoke in languages with which they were not familiar. They spoke fluently, and they spoke coherently and clearly, and they had something substantial to say. They were speaking about the mighty works of God to these people who came from other nations, who, although they could speak the common language of Greek, and probably knew either Hebrew or Aramaic, its cousin language, from the synagogue, they were hearing the native languages of those countries in which they were born, spoken by these Galilean apostles. And that was a wondrous thing to behold. And the wonder, the capacity for wonder, was awakened in these men by what they saw and heard on that occasion. They were bewildered. They were confused, perplexed by it, and they were amazed, we are told twice, filled with amazement at what they saw and heard. Jesus would say, not Jesus, but Peter would later say in the message of that day, that it's Jesus who has poured forth what you see and hear by the promise of the Holy Spirit, which God had given to him and which he had given to the apostles and on that day fulfilled. When he was preaching the sermon of that occasion, he referred to Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God unto you by mighty works and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, even as you yourselves know, That's verse 22, Acts 2, verse 22. The word for mighty deeds there, American Standard Translation, is the word powers. Same word again in Mark 9, verse 1, that you will see the kingdom of God come with power. Same word in Acts 1, verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And what did Jesus work? He worked powers, translated miracles in the King James Version. But it's the word for powers, demonstrations of power. And these were wonders, exciting wonder among people who perceived what was obviously a supernatural power at work. And they were signs, as we mentioned this morning. They were instructive of truth and illustrative of truth. So this was the day of power that Jesus had promised. And did the kingdom come on that day? Peter preached that it was so, because that was his message, that Jesus of Nazareth is Lord and Christ. God so appointed, so planned, and so fulfilled, and exalted him at his right hand, and all the house of Israel is to know with certainty that this Jesus whom you crucified is Lord and Christ. Meaning what? The kingdom that had been promised has come. And the Lord in Christ is at the right hand of God ruling. Now there was another power at work. You probably know what I'm referring to. It was the power of divine persuasion. That is not a miracle. When Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God coming with power, we first think about the miraculous powers demonstrated on that occasion. And he had promised such. Mark 9, verse 1, Acts 1, verse 8. And we see the fulfillment of that in the miraculous demonstrations of that occasion. But there is another power at work, and that's the power of God's persuasion of human beings through the gospel. The gospel is the power of God to salvation, as Paul said twice in his writings, Romans chapter 1 and 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And that power was demonstrated on that occasion, at Pentecost, by the preaching of the gospel, reaching into the hearts of human beings. That is not called a miracle in the Bible, but it is a divine power. The power of the Word of God to reach receptive hearts, what Jesus called honest and good hearts. And those people listened to that, and 3,000 of them were persuaded. They were convinced and convicted. The God who made us in His image gave the message in a form that we can understand and receive, and be moved by it, respond to God in faith with convicted hearts and with submission to His will. What shall we do? They said to the apostles. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ to the remission of your sins, and God will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. They then that received His word were baptized, and they were added to them in that day 3,000 souls. They had seen and heard miraculous power that day. But what persuaded them and moved them to respond to the gospel was God's persuasion through that word about Jesus Christ. And that is the word that we can study today, and it still has the divine power to move the hearts of men and women and young people, and to bring them to God through Jesus Christ. Let us stand and sing.
Calling today, calling to day, darling, today, wine from the sunshine above, wilt thou roam farther and farther away, calling today, calling. is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is waiting, oh come to him now, waiting today, waiting today. Come with thy sins at his feet, lowly bow, come and no longer delay.
Here this afternoon, if there are one or more present who have not had the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper, it is prepared across the hall to my right, and you may be dismissed at this time. Our closing song will be 205. We'll sing the first verse only of 205, followed by our closing prayer.
Be not dismayed.